It's 6:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Reno with KRWG News. New Mexico state health officials on Monday announced that there are now over 5,000 positive cases of COVID-19 in the state. Officials yesterday also announced 8 more deaths. Overall, 208 people are reported to have died from COVID-19 in the state. Health officials on Monday also announced that there were 24 new cases in Doñana County and 4 new cases in Otero County, as well as 11 new cases at the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Otero County Processing Center, where the State Department of Health reports there are 30 COVID-19 cases among individuals being held at the Federal Otero County Processing Center run by ICE. On the Tuesday Health Watch, research into a promising treatment for COVID-19. Given by IV, remdesivir is designated to interfere with an enzyme that reproduces viral genetic material. Baylor Scott and White Hospital System is conducting clinical trials of the drug. KERA's Sam Baker talked about this with the principal investigator, Dr. Robert Gottlieb.
If you imagine you're putting down pieces of a train track, you can put a train track piece that instead of being straight, is a little bit curved, so that the train stops. And now the engine that is laying down the train tracks has to take away that broken train track, throw it out, and then continue back on. So this virus, the novel coronavirus, is very good at editing that. If you give it a bent piece of rail, it'll take that and toss it into the trash and put down a new piece of rail. So it's only very few compounds that can actually trick the machinery into putting that bent piece of rail into place and then get stuck, and then the virus can't replicate itself. Remdesivir is one of the unique compounds that actually gets stuck and then makes the replication complex stop in its tracks.
This has been used before, say, against SARS?
So it has been used against SARS in vitro, and actually that's why it became such a good lead compound with the current epidemic. So when we think back to the mid to late 2000s, when we had the original SARS epidemic, predominantly focused in Asia, that was called SARS coronavirus 1. The current epidemic is SARS coronavirus 2, which is very similar. We've studied SARS coronavirus type 1 and some similar viruses like the Middle Eastern respiratory virus, so MERS. That has also been studied both in small animals as well as larger animals. And this remdesivir seems to work just fine in those cases.
How are the clinical trials being conducted, and what kind of timeline do you have for them?
So there are various clinical trials. The ones that we have are 2 trials. One are for patients that have moderate symptoms, where they're hospitalized. They may have shortness of breath, and all of them have some evidence of pneumonia from the coronavirus, but their oxygen saturation looks relatively normal. Usually those patients are not considered sick enough to hospitalize, but in this case, we know that this is a different virus. These patients behave very differently. And instead of being considered mild risk, they're considered moderate risk because they can become much sicker very quickly and they require careful attention. The other trial addresses patients that are clearly much sicker with an oxygen saturation of 94% or lower, might be needing oxygen. These are patients that belong in the hospital for any other condition because they might not be on oxygen at home and they're so short of breath that now suddenly they require an oxygen. They usually have a fever, cough, and then may have other symptoms associated.
Is there any problem getting volunteers for these trials?
You know, it's interesting. Every time it's a conversation so that someone understands the risks, benefits, and alternative. And we don't have the data yet. So I can't look at a patient and say, you need to take this. We need to look at the trial data to then assess its safety and efficacy. So if a patient says, hey, you know, doc, thank you for offering that to me. I feel like I'm getting better. Then it's a completely voluntary process. We're offering it for the benefit of our patients. Now, a few patients have taken that information, thought about it, and said, doc, I'm actually getting sicker. Can you come back? Because I'd really like to see if that medicine will help me.
I know it's speculation, but how long do you think it might be before we saw an approved treatment for COVID-19?
Oh gosh, that's a hard answer to respond to because it presupposes the results of this trial. Until the trial data is released, I can't really speculate.
Is there pressure on to maybe quote unquote get it done?
I wouldn't say pressure. It's that every researcher, every nurse, every person in any role is a family member, is a friend, knows a patient, or is vulnerable to becoming a patient themselves. This is very personal to every one of us. I think every one of us on our team is aware of what's going on in the news. We've seen this happen in other areas, and the key to this is being prepared. It's a dedication that many people are doing from the time they wake up until the time they collapse with exhaustion.
Dr. Gottlieb, thank you for being with me.
My pleasure. Thank you for your time.